You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM.
Moving on, we are not done because there are plenty more bad guys. Next, we have to talk about Russian and Iranian state hackers. Now, interestingly enough, these state-sponsored hackers from both of these companies are increasingly targeting British politicians, journalists, and researchers with sophisticated campaigns aimed at gaining access to an individual's email, and that's according to Britain's online security agency warning us this past Thursday. Now, the National Cybersecurity Center issued that alert about two groups from Russia and Iran, warning that those in government defense, think tanks, and from media, basically warning them against clicking malicious links from people posting as conference hosts, journalists, or even colleagues. Both groups have been active for some years, but it's understood they've recently stepped up their activities in the United Kingdom as the war in Ukraine continues, as well as operating in the United States and other NATO allied countries as well. They aim to steal secrets or leak correspondence online to embarrass high-profile figures, but this has nothing to do with the extortion of money. So, obviously, this is a huge problem. If you have any kind of prominence or could be basically a black eye embarrassment to the United Kingdom, the United States, or NATO allies, be vigilant, be on guard. Make sure that who you're talking to you actually know. I don't click on links. I usually don't download documents and all of that unless I'm expecting them. And even when I do, I'm running them through sandboxes to check them. Super, super important. So make sure you've got good vigilance out there. We are always, always under attack. Moving on, let's talk about the TSA, or the Transportation Security Agency, here in the United States. If you didn't know, they have a no-fly list, meaning if you're on that list and you go to the airport and try to get on an airplane, you'll be rejected automatically. And you know where I'm going with this, because the Daily Dot reported that a Swiss hacker known as Maya Arson Krimu found an unsecured server belonging to U.S. airline carrier Commute Air, their regional carrier out of Ohio. Quote, the server contained data from a 2019 version of the federal no-fly list that included first and last names and dates of birth. That's according to Commute Air corporate communications manager Eric Kane talking to the Daily Dot. Quote, in addition, certain Commute Air employees and flight information was accessible. We have submitted notification to the Security and Infrastructure Security Agency, or CISA, and we are continuing with full investigation. So heads up to you if you're on the no-fly list. One, I hope you're not there as a false positive, as that has been known to happen. And two, everybody got exposed, including, information on employees and logistics for Commute Air. So heads up to you, Commute Air passengers as well, and employees. And finally, and we have two finalies for you. This next one is interesting and deeply concerning as a supply chain hit. We are talking about a group called Odin Intelligence. That's ODIN Intelligence. And they are a police software and services provider. So you know this isn't good. Here's what's happening. Cyber attackers breached Odin Intelligence's internal servers to steal data that included both internal company information and data uploaded by police department clients, meaning the information police departments were sending Odin. Now, the leak exposed police plans for to-be-launched raids, as well as information on suspects, victims, convicted sex offenders, and people who may be in the vicinity of raids, according to TechCrunch. Now, Odin Intelligence provides police departments with services like sex offender need assessment ratings, known as SONAR. That's a system that local and state law enforcement use to remotely monitor registered sex offenders, and Sweep Wizard, which is an app that police use for coordinating and planning raids. Transparency organization distributed denial of services, or DDO secrets, received this data, which it provided to then journalists and researchers alike. DDO secrets also stated that they have 19 gigabytes of information from Odin Intelligence and Sweep Wizard, while an Odin notice of breach described the theft as 16 gigabytes. And obviously, this is not good. Having this information out there ahead of time, is obviously very damaging and possibly harmful, for the police in terms of transparency and all of that. I don't think people are fans of things like no-knock warrants and all that kind of stuff. I don't know how far this goes, but if you are in any way, shape, or form related to a police department that uses them, they may have that information, and that information may be out there, whether you're a victim of a raid or the target of a raid or living next door to the raid, not to mention just, criminals and everything else that are exposed out there. It's a very dangerous situation to be in. So hopefully that gets cleaned up. Hopefully DDoS secrets or distributed denial of secrets will basically keep a lid on this. Journalists and researchers are different than saying, hey, everybody, you know, let's go look at the public. God forbid, you know, they're going to raid a drug cartel and the drug cartel now knows they're coming. So we'll see what happens with that, with this. But obviously, that's a huge one. And finally, we have to talk about LastPass, the parent company, basically specifically LastPass's parent company, I should say, GoTo. And honestly, it's been raining poop on GoTo. First LastPass and now the other side of their company. And here's what's going on. LastPass owner GoTo, formerly known as LogMeIn, which I'm sure you've heard of, and I'm sure this is GoToMeeting, GoToWebinar, all that kind of stuff. So LastPass owner GoTo, formerly LogMeIn, this past Tuesday disclosed that an unidentified threat actor was able to steal encrypted backups of some customer data along with the encryption key for some of those backups in a November 2022 incident. Now, the breach, which targeted a third-party cloud storage service, impacted basically the GoTo products Central, Pro, Join.me, Hamachi, and Remotely Anywhere, according to them. Quote, the affected information, which varies by product, may include account usernames, salted and hashed passwords, a portion of multi-factor authentication, MFA settings, as well as some product settings and licensing information. That is according to the spokesperson for GoTo. Additionally, multi-factor authentication settings pertaining to a subset of its GoTo MyPC and LogMeIn Rescue customers were impacted, although there is no evidence that the encrypted databases associated with those two services was actually exfiltrated. The company did not disclose how many users were impacted, but it said it's directly contacting the victims to provide additional information and recommending certain actionable steps to secure their accounts. And that's obviously a very, very concerning thing, because a lot of, you know, IT service providers will use these kinds of products and basically store these agents on their customer servers or customer computers or both to basically gain remote access. On top of this, my concern is that they are not being transparent, just as we did not have full transparency with LastPass the last time this happened. And I did a video in August when LastPass first got hit, and subsequent videos as more information came out. And that one from August, I said, they're not being transparent. They keep saying, oh, well, not on the customer side, only on the business side. Well, great. What access does the business side have to the customer side? They weren't transparent on that. They kept saying there was zero knowledge. What on earth does that mean to them? And that was never really explained. And sure enough, it got worse. And so I have no doubt in my mind, and again, this is my opinion, my speculation, but I'm not doubting this, that I'm sure there's more to this story that we are going to see, because they have not been fully transparent as some companies have in their in the same situation as they have been. So we're going to see where this goes, but heads up to you, if you use GoTo anything or LogMeIn anything, as well as LastPass, it's really time to switch. It's really time to change. And so those were your breaches of the week. Were you affected? Let me know.
You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And now for the Deep Dive segment, where we take a closer and deeper look at a cybersecurity, cyber warfare, or technology issue around us. And if you have any suggestions for a Deep Dive segment or something you'd like me to dive into, you can once again find me on Facebook and Twitter at Nick A. ESP. Again, that's Nick A. ESP. Or you can send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. That's questions@securityfanatics.com. I am more than happy to take a look at it. And if it meets our standards, we are more than happy to do a deep dive on it. So let's begin.
And this week's deep dive is actually, honestly, once again about the war in Ukraine. Now, I did a similar deep dive at the start of this war, but we've had a couple of things here in late January, beginning of February, that have really started escalating this, and I kind of wanted to revisit this as a deep dive. And so this deep dive is preparing for an impending cyber attack. Now, if you didn't know, and basically at the end of January, the World Health Organization, or WHO, basically put out a notice to all governments saying we should start stockpiling anti-radiation medications. Now, that's obviously not a good sign. But to be clear, I do not think that Russia, basically putting its back against a wall, would nuke the United States. We're going to nuke them right back, to be perfectly honest with you, not to mention World War III. I think with NATO and us combined, we'd wipe them off the face of the earth. But there is a real consistent threat that nuclear anything might be used in Eastern Europe or other parts of Europe. And so that is something that the WHO is basically preparing for. On top of this, we basically have an understanding that the United States, Germany, and Poland are now going to be sending tanks to Ukraine, and that obviously turns Ukraine into an offense as opposed to a defensive military. And so that's one of those things that's also concerning as well, because that is an escalation. I'm not saying that's a good or bad decision. You can make your choice for yourself, but the Ukrainians have done a very effective job with small arms, anti-tank, anti-drone weapons, anti-helicopter weapons, all that kind of stuff, keeping the Russians at bay and pushing them back. But obviously, this changes the tide of the war. Good or bad, whatever that is, we're going to see. And so if you are looking at the theater of conflict in Ukraine and how that could potentially impact us here in the United States, basically, the only option that Russia would have as a retaliation is going to be on the cyber warfare front. And so by virtue of that, I want to talk about what we could expect in an impending cyber attack and, quite frankly, how you can really honestly start defending yourself very quickly in this. So with that, let's start with some of the common things that we might see if the Russians decide to launch a cyber attack against the United States. Now, these attacks could be local to geographic locations, maybe heavily populated centers like New York, LA, Chicago, etc. This could be, random and remote. This could be nationwide. We obviously don't know, but we have to plan for a lot of things. And so let's assume wherever you are, wherever you're listening to this, that Russia is going to decide to attack your locale, whether it's nationwide or your area. I don't care where you are. Here's the things that we have to basically think about and consider. The first one is a loss of internet via our internet service provider. So think about that. If the internet goes down all around you, then essentially what's going to happen is there's going to be no communications, no apps, no games, no accessing anything online. That's obviously a huge thing. And a lot of voice systems now for business and also for home that people are buying also depend on the internet to make calls. So that is going to be a huge issue. If the internet goes down, you've got to make sure that you're able to survive. I'm not just saying, okay, take a week off and read a book, but obviously it stops the flow of commerce as well. So that's a huge, huge problem that we have to consider. If you are ordering everything from Amazon and Amazon's not available, now what? Now, and those are things that I think we have to understand. Yeah, so shop local, I guess is what I'm saying. On top of that, we might lose electricity. We like to warm our houses in the winter and cool our houses in the summer, not to mention just have the lights on, and without electricity, nothing is on. The internet's not on, anything else that you can think of, but prepare for an extended outage. And we have seen that the Russian military, or specifically the cyber portion of the Russian military and intelligence, is very good at that. In 2015, they hacked into a Ukrainian nuclear power plant, and then they shut it down. And then they also hit the phone system. And so they basically made 200,000 to 300,000 Ukrainians in that region deaf and blind. Most cybersecurity experts, myself included, said that that was a dry run, a dry test of the Russians testing their cyber offensive capabilities, but also testing Ukraine's defenses. And so the loss of electricity in an area or almost nationwide would be a very serious hindrance on absolutely everything. Imagine traffic lights going out, everything going out. So that is a huge, huge issue. On top of that, think about the ability or loss of water and wastewater, or the poisoning of water and wastewater. If you didn't know, we have over 50,000 districts, water and wastewater districts here in the United States. And according to the Inspector General that has done reports on water and wastewater, about 60 to 70% of them are horribly defended in terms of cyber defense, cybersecurity. In fact, we had, and I've talked about this on the air before, we had our almost first mass casualty event in Oldsmar, Florida, about 2 years ago or so, when somebody hacked into the local water supply and started introducing lye in high quantities. Now, lye in very small quantities is used as a disinfectant for the water system, but in high quantities, it poisons the water. Oldsmar is a town or a municipality of about 15,000 Floridians, and we would have seen every man, woman, and child, not to mention animals, drinking from that water source die or be poisoned. That's a huge thing. So if the water goes out, the water goes down, or the water is poisoned, that might be something that we have to contend with. And so what are we going to do as a backup? On top of that, we also have to think of traditional communications. A lot of people still have that plain old school telephone system. A lot of first responders for buildings or wired alarm systems use that. But a lot of that traditional communication systems now trunk into the internet. And so if the internet goes down, we could lose those traditional plain old phone systems as well. That's something that we need to consider. On top of that, what we've seen through this war is that satellite warfare is one of those things that is obviously happening. We've seen hacking teams break into Russian satellites and all of that. The Russians have basically been really putting things out there in terms of their rhetoric, saying, well, we need to revisit, you know, anti-satellite warfare treaties, meaning are they going to start firing anti-satellite missiles into the atmosphere and start knocking out our satellites? And if that's the case, think about this. GPS would go down, satellite communications would go down, television would go down, which is really interesting because if you think about it, even your TV that you've got, let's say, oh, well, I've got cable, it's wired in. Well, your local cable provider is getting their programming through big satellite dishes at their local office. So that's obviously a huge thing that we have to contend with as well. And so that's something that we have to think about, not to mention the fact that we could see specific apps or services disrupted. So imagine all of your financial apps or your banks hit, and that is something that the Russians are very good at. If you didn't know, within the few weeks, or I should say before the actual war started last February, almost a year ago, and it, my God, the three-day war has been almost a year, a couple of weeks before that started, Russian hackers were hitting the financial institutions in Ukraine, attempting to destabilize the government, destabilize the population, create runs on banks, all those kinds of things. And so imagine that happening here. Not to mention other apps go down. What if all the platforms like Google Play and Apple's App Store go down and you can't get to any of your apps or none of your apps work because the infrastructure hosting them goes down? These are things that we have to contend with as well. Imagine having kids and they don't have any access whatsoever to apps or games or anything on their phones. You might actually have to parent once again. So that's something that we need to consider as well. On top of that, we've got disruption of local governments. Think about this. If the 911 call center gets hit and goes down, that's a huge problem. First responders won't roll, whether it's fire, police, ambulance, whatever is needed. Traffic lights could all be turned green or all go down as well. We recently saw a study by hackers out of, I believe it's Holland, that figured out a way to get into traffic lights and shut them down. We personally assessed in my company, my day job, if you will, outside of the radio, we assessed a municipality for basically their defenses. And we were able to get into their 911 center. You know, not to mention things like bill pay goes down. And believe me, nobody's complaining. They're not paying their local parking tickets or water bills. But these are things we have to contend to. And local government also does things like social services. They have food pantries and other things like that. If those go down, that obviously is impacting a good portion of the population that is using those kinds of things. So these are things that we have to really contend with. So as we are looking at, you know, a potential Russian cyber attacks, these are things we may see. These are things that we have to prepare for. And so by virtue of that, my goal is to prepare you for that here on basically this deep dive. And so first things first, as I am talking about securing all of these things, you understand that this is not comprehensive. There are comprehensive cybersecurity frameworks out there, but these are the things that you can immediately do right now to start defending yourself. And that's why I'm putting this out there. So first things first, as I said, it's not comprehensive, but here are some of the critical steps that I would do in your life to make sure that you are hardened, whether, you know, you're at home or you're running a business or anything else in between, you're an employee, it doesn't matter. These are things that you should do. First things first, update everything in your life. If you have an iPhone or an Android or Windows or Mac or whatever you're running, and you're one of those people that sees those updates come and you're like, oh, no, never skip. No, never go away. Skip, next, whatever that is. You're doing yourself a disservice because the reason why we actually update, I don't care what it is, iPhone, Android, etc., is usually because somebody has found some kind of vulnerability and they are putting out a release so that you can put it into your phone, your computer, your wireless access point, your DVR, your smart TV, your whatever, to actually harden it against that vulnerability so I or somebody malicious cannot exploit that vulnerability and take it over from you or steal information or knock it out or do whatever. So update everything. Your routers, your wireless access points, your phones, your computers, your TVs, anything that basically is programmable computer, your Xboxes and PlayStations, you know, your smart refrigerators, all those kinds of things. Make sure you're updating everything. Next up,
Enable multi-factor authentication on absolutely everything you can. Maybe you use Facebook, maybe you use Amazon, maybe you use Google, maybe you use all three, like most of the planet. All three of those have multi-factor authentication built in, and it is 100% free. You just have to enable it. You have to download an authenticator app, and a whole bunch of people make authenticator apps, Google, Microsoft, and on and on. My personal preference for personal authenticator apps is one called Authy, A-U-T-H-Y. You can go and get that from basically Play Store or App Store, whatever it is. It works on all platforms, and it is used. You can use it on Facebook and Twitter and, you know, take your pick, Amazon and, you know, Shopify and, you know, all of these places to secure your life. And the reason why this is better is because whenever you log into something, essentially you have a username and a password, and now it's prompting you for a code that the authenticator app gives you and changes every 30 seconds. So if I've stolen your username and password, whether it's in the dark web or in some other way, I'm not going to have access to that secure app on your phone. And so when I log in, I'm going to get prompted for a code I don't have. And that is basically going to thwart about 90 to 99% of all attacks against your infrastructure, against your logins, against all of that. In fact, Microsoft did a study and said that over 99% of all compromises it sees in its Office 365 email accounts, which is business, over 99% could have been avoided if they had simply turned on the free multi-factor authentication. So that is super, super important as well. On top of that, make sure that everything that you have has good threat detection on it. So many people, especially you Mac people, I'm talking to you Mac people out there, you do not have antivirus and things like that on your Macs. You need it. We infect Macs all the time. We see infected Macs all the time. So unbelievably important. Make sure that you have basically some kind of threat detection, antivirus, endpoint detection response, anything on all of your devices, anything that can take it, because that is going to make sure that if something does get in, you've got an extra layer of defense looking at you, trying to protect you, all those kinds of things. So make sure that you've got that as well. On top of that, make sure you've got good backups and double check your backups. So I have backups, you know, if I'm talking about my personal life, I have backups of my data here, you know, on site at home that are separated, encrypted, all those kinds of things to make sure that if I have some kind of outage, I can quickly plug my backup in and restore my data as fast as humanly possible. But I also have my sensitive data backed up securely in a cloud that I pay for. I don't use the free ones because I don't want to be data mined, and I periodically check them. Everything is encrypted, so if my backups are ever stolen, nobody can access them. And I do test my backups to make sure that they actually can restore my data and that I'm not restoring something corrupted. So make sure that you're doing that. Studies have shown that a good chunk of backups can be corrupted over time. So make sure you're checking them. Have good backups in your life, you know, and you never know, right? You don't want to be that person that is, you know, like 200 pages into your dissertation and lose the whole thing. So make sure you've got good backups. Make sure you're doing all of that. Super, super important. On top of this, have a discussion, you know, with your friends, your family, you know, your coworkers, you know, whoever it is, about this potential thing. Make sure that you're maintaining vigilance. Make sure that you are looking for potential threats. Can you spot a phishing email? And I'm not talking about Prince Ubuntu from Nigeria, but I'm talking about one of your friends on Facebook gets hacked and sends you a DM that basically says, hey, like, I'm having a problem. Can you send me money? Or, hey, is this you in this picture? Click this link. All those kinds of things. Do you know what those scams are? Have you seen those scams? Make sure that you are paying attention and being vigilant on this. One of the easiest ways to get into somebody's life is to take over another account related to them, meaning I'm hacking your friend's mailbox and I'm sending you emails, or I'm hacking their Facebook or Instagram or whatever, and now I'm sending you and all of the friends or connections essentially emails trying to get information. So make sure that you are looking at that as well. On top of this, you have the ability to basically apply a lot of different types of smart technology to your home. So if you are able to get a firewall for your home as well, and there are a lot out there. So one of those, for example, on the home commercial side, I won't recommend them for business, but on the home side, there's one called Firewalla, for example. You can go and you can spend a couple $100 and you can get something that will defend you way better than the modem, for example, that your internet service provider gives you. A lot of those more advanced firewalls also allow you to geo-block, meaning as you are going out on the internet on the modem that your provider gave you, you actually have what's called an IP address. That's public to the world on the outside of that modem, and everybody in the world can see it. On average, every single address is scanned 44 times a day. That could be malicious, that could be research, whatever that is. That's you at home, that's your business or where you work. And so if you've got basically one of those more advanced firewalls, you can then drop a lot of traffic from around the world. You can geo-block. If you're sitting here in the United States, then why should traffic outside of the United States see your address, see your firewall? Why does Russia need to see it? Just block them. It makes sense. So there you go. Make sure you're doing that. On top of that, there are other things that you can do as well. So the last thing I want to talk about is things like home automation. You know, if you're running a business or in part of a business and you have industrial control systems, that kind of falls under this umbrella too. But we had a case recently, and by recently I say the last couple of years because technology moves both slowly and quickly depending on what you're doing. Last couple of years or so, Google had a major outage, and we found out that millions of people that had Google Nest thermostats could not use them, meaning they could not, you know, turn up the air or turn up the heat or whatever it is they needed to do. These were so interconnected to the internet that they simply stopped functioning when the internet went down and Google went down and these Nest thermostats could not access it. Does your thermostat work offline? You know, does your smart refrigerator, you know, lose some kind of functionality offline, but does it stop running altogether? Test these things, check these things. You know, unplug your internet for 20 minutes, go around and see what won't work. You know, maybe you've got a smart home assistant that suddenly won't turn on your lights or turn off all your whatever. You know, check these things. Make sure these things can work offline.
And thank you so much for tuning in this week. It was another fun show, and I think we covered a lot of really good stuff. And I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. It was a really good time. And I hope you keep tuning in. Thank you very much for listening to the Deep Dive Radio Show here with Nick Espinoza. And if you have any comments, suggestions, questions, absolutely anything, once again, you can find me on Facebook and Twitter at Nick A ESP. Again, that's Nick A ESP. And you can always send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. Don't be shy. I love the feedback. We've been having a great time with the show. And as always, stay safe and stay online, everyone. Thanks for listening.